Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. This is podcast 1233A, and instead of the medical news of the week, it is going to be the medical news of the week, but with the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee, which controls a lot of medicine, and who has written what I would call a great book, Chutzpah. And 1233B will be the second segment of it. So hang on, you'll get both segments today from Senator Ron Wyden. We're brought to you as usual by longevityplaybook.com and lifesfirstnaturals.com. Go to those websites and see what they're all about. Senator, I feel very privileged to have gotten to read this book. It's a sensational book, but it tells a tale that I think is very pertinent today. First of all, how did you happen to name it Chutzpah? And secondly, I'm going to go into some of those chutzpah moves and talk to you about them.
Well, Mike, it's great to be on your show. Having worked with you over the years on a number of healthcare efforts, it's always good to see you pushing for better quality care at more affordable prices. So this is a treat. And apropos of this, I never thought when I was writing this book that we would need chutzpah as much as we do today. Because my goodness, if you look at all of the big challenges, from politics, for example, to AI, all of these big concerns are really going to require nerve and innovation and grit and people who are going to say, let's try to find a path forward in very challenging times. And I'm really excited to be able to talk about this right now, where I think in field after field, what we need is a good dose of chutzpah, which I define as the indispensable instrument for making your world and everybody's world more exciting.
What I took from the book is that it really takes chutzpah to get compromise and to get the power to make change for the better. I took it as, and you have 12 rules of chutzpah, one of which is to make noise. It's difficult in this time to make meaningful noise, is it not?
Make noise, but make sure that it's all about trying to find solutions and fresh ideas that you can build on. And there's some rules, for example, that are particularly pertinent right now. If one of your listeners, for example, doesn't, for example, care much for the Trump administration, I've got a rule that says you've got to play the long game. You've got to look for more than the next 15 minutes. Well, he's won an election. You know, he's going to have an opportunity for governing, and people are going to have to see that, for example, another rule is work with anybody if they've got good ideas and they can help actually move forward and find common ground.
In one of those areas you played the common ground on that is in the book is RU 486. So do you want to talk about how you did that? Because that really was an instrumental move.
Well, I held the first hearing back in the 1990s when I was a young congressman. And talk about chutzpah, I had a full head of hair and rugged good looks, so to speak. I was on the House Small Business Committee, and I wanted to dig into important issues that included inquiring into some healthcare practices. And nobody had ever done anything like this in the House Small Business Committee. I approached the chairman, and very early on, I saw that there was a chance to have a medical alternative to surgical abortion. And I had a chance to examine this in the context of small businesses being interested in this. It was the House Small Business Committee. We had to take on some big odds. We were opposed by the right wing's leader, Jesse Helms of North Carolina, was my big opponent. He was firing off information and letters to the Food and Drug Administration constantly. And I figured out, apropos of using a good dose of chutzpah, how to simplify the choices, which are as relevant today as they were more than 20 years ago. And that is, are you going to make decisions on the basis of science, or are you going to make decisions on the basis of politics? And I proved to the FDA that this was a medicine that had scientific merit, and the opponents were disproportionately those who, for political reasons, didn't want women to have it. Now, to prove that, you and something you and I have talked about, that healthcare policy is not linear, you don't just get to go from point A to point B and it stays in place, is now we have people trying, after 20 years of positive results with mifepristone, the medicine, now we're having to go back and get it put there permanently for women given the opposition. And the issue, Mike, is still, are you for science or are you for politics?
But you did play a long game in getting that through.
We played the long game and we said we'd like everybody to come on board who believes this is the right thing to do. We didn't care about your politics, left, right, and center. We cared about health policy for women. What would be good for them? How to help doctors, for example, not find their offices picketed and protested and violent in some, you know, instances. And we found a way that lasted for literally 20 years after I held those first hearings in the Clinton administration, said we're going to make decisions on the basis of science and not politics. We had the original testing at the Oregon Health Sciences Center in my hometown. And here we are, more than 20 years later, facing the same sort of opposition we had when I held those hearings. And I keep talking to my friends, we're going to need your chutzpah again, because we're up against the same people. And this time they have friends in very high places.
Tell the difference. You've been chair of Senate Finance. What does Senate Finance do? Because it doesn't do just finance. And what's the difference between being the chair and then the ranking member?
We deal with Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, the billions of dollars that go for breaks for employers and employees for healthcare coverage delivered by the employer. And it is very, very relevant who's the chair and who's the ranking member. We do work together. The chair has the gavel in their hands and the ability to set the agenda. So as I go forward with this, I'm recognizing that we're going to have to recognize another kind of principle of it takes chutzpah, and that is political change rarely starts in Washington, D.C. and trickles down. It's almost always grassroots up. And now as the ranking Democrat on the Finance Committee, I'll have to use a lot of that kind of philosophy.
So what I take it is the chair gets to both set the agenda, and because there's a majority number of members of his or her party, it's much more controlled than the ranking member.
Yes. I mean, clearly, to be able to set the agenda and have the votes is very significant. But historically, if you look at my career, the focus on ideas, working with people on both sides of the aisle, and being able to take a simple message to the public, like, do you want science or do you want politics? We've been able to hold our own in the minority, that's for sure.
Now, one of the issues today is the cost of healthcare. And in the Medicare Advantage programs, the delays in care. What should we do? What can we on the outside use to try and get changes in that process of, I guess, the delay in denial that seems to occur?
The leaders of the delay and denial movement, so to speak, are the middlemen. And you see this in medicine, you see it in the delivery of services, these PBMs, the pharmaceutical benefit managers. They made some sense 30 years ago when there wasn't much data and people didn't know how to use what there was. Now there's lots of data, people know how to use it. And these middlemen basically are skimming off a lot of the dollars that should go to the patients and taxpayers and to those who serve them. And I hope that we'll be able to get our bipartisan bill. We got a 26-0 vote in the Finance Committee in the last Congress for this. I hope we'll be able to get it passed in this Congress.
Is that to do away with the middleman, or is it to...
What we do is we do make sure that the compensation is focused on the patients, the providers, and the taxpayers, and not on the middlemen who skim off the cream.
And you give 12 rules of chutzpah, and clearly it seems like there are a lot of the Republican senators and congressmen who tried to do that in the last Congress are no longer there because they tried to stand up to the worry and to do the right thing.
You're talking about the Senate Democrats.
I'm talking about the Senate Republicans, meaning the Senate, some of the Senate Republicans and some of the House Republicans tried to stand up to Trump in the last administration.
Oh, and yeah, in the first administration, yes.
And after January 6th and subsequently and consequently have either been primaried or not there. So it seems like there's a danger in chutzpah for them.
There is sort of, at first glance, a sense that if you stick your neck out, that it'll be chopped off and that's the end of your time in service. I'm going around right now to Republicans in the Senate, and I'm talking about the cuts that Donald Trump is proposing this time in healthcare research. I'm talking about the tariffs, which are so hard for the farmers. I'm talking about the cuts in veterans' benefits. And I continue to believe, Mike, that when people go home and their constituents say, what are you supporting these tariffs for? I'm a farmer. I really get hurt. There's videos all over TikTok and everywhere now of farmers saying, I'm getting hurt by this. Same with health research, cutbacks in veterans affairs. That when elected officials explain to their constituents why something that is really important to them is what's motivating the member of Congress's decision to help, then it becomes very different. But certainly if someone just gets a little snippet of information from a part of the media that may have very much a pre-calculated interest in something, yes, you can get hurt, but not if you explain it. If you explain it and walk people through it in an understandable fashion, not only can you survive it, you'll benefit from it.
Now, you were instrumental in starting the, I think it was the Oregon Gray Panthers.
I was one of the founders. I was the youngest person who specialized in Medicare. And my co-leader, I think, was 82. And I was 28. And yes, it was an incredibly gratifying experience. We got some of the first laws in the country to eliminate these insurance companies ripping off seniors with what's called Medigap insurance to fill in the gaps in Medicare. We made a little headway in Oregon. And then when I got elected to Congress, we passed a comprehensive bill that was authored by a bipartisan group. And I came home the morning after we had prevailed, and I saw a picture of myself on the front of the New York Times, and I said, how in the world did this happen? And I said, it had to be chutzpah. And Bob Dole was very supportive, and Tom Daschle, myself, a big group of us, Jack Hines, the late Jack Hines, a big group, were very supportive of these changes. And to this day, that model of making sure that people don't buy garbage insurance to fill in the gaps of Medicare is still on the books.
It appears that the Republicans have enough of a majority in the Senate to overweigh chutzpah. Does chutzpah peel off? In other words, is it the local, when they come home, is it those appeals directly? I know my wife writes letters like crazy. And Senator Portman, when he was in the Senate, said each of the letters counted like 100 calls. Is that true? In other words, does letter writing make a difference? What makes a difference?
Any kind of personal contact, going to a town hall meeting, writing a letter and describing how it affects your family, anything with a personal connection, what is less productive if you just send something that's part of a multi-million production of automatic responses on every single issue that people can see is not deeply held by you personally. That's different. But personal contact, yes, makes a big difference. Look for your elected official in the grocery store.
And you tell a very interesting story about that. I think it was about a George at PDX. You want to tell us a little more about George and PDX?
George at PDX is a fictional character, but not really fictional. He sees me coming in from a flight. It's been a long, grueling flight, and I'm beaten up to beat the band, so to speak. And he says, "Oh, great to see you come back here from your home in New York City." And I point out in the book that the far right has been trying to sell this idea that I live in New York City because my wife owns the Strand bookstore. And it is not very productive for them because I've had more than 1,100 open to all town hall meetings. And it would be pretty much impossible to do such a thing if I was living somewhere else. And so I said, "George, nope, just going home to my place in the neighborhood, but happy to listen to what's on your mind." And George wanted to say, "Here's what the change has been in the airport that I've been working on all these years." And he told me a lot about it. And I listened and asked questions and all the rest. And the section on George ends with, "I represent everybody in Oregon, more than 4 million people. And I'm not sure George is ever going to say, I'm voting for Ron Wyden." But George, in my view, went home that night and said, "I talked to Ron Wyden. I gave him a thing or two about some big issues. He heard me out, and he was an okay guy. Wasn't a jerk and didn't high-hat me and act all important." And I said, "That's part of the job, is to listen, get ideas, show people you're open. It takes chutzpah because it's more time-consuming. And it probably is a little bit putting yourself out on a limb in terms of politics, but I think it's the right thing to do, and that's why I'm in public service."
We're going to end section A here, 1233A. We're going to start 1233B in a few minutes, so come back or download 1233B as well.
Don't miss 1233B. We're just getting started.
We're all talking about chutzpah, the book by Senator Ron Wyden. You can find it at the Strand bookstore, I am sure, in New York City.
You can find it practically anywhere online,
as well as on Amazon and every place else, and at your local bookstore. Please do frequent them. Remember to support our sponsors by just going to their website, longevityplaybook.com and lifesfirstnaturals.com, and we'll be right back.